words I speak and the thoughts in all our minds be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Many of you will know that I normally worship at St. Martin's Higher Poynton. It's very good to be with you today at Nether Poynton. But we do feel very much at one when we worship up there because we're following the same pattern of sermons as you are. And we've been following the prayers in this service of Holy Communion, and we come today to the second on the prayer of consecration, which you'll find on page 25, and it might be worth turning to that perhaps at this point. Page 25, we had a sermon last week looking at the first half of this prayer, and we're going to look today at the second half, that in a moment. But up at High Poynton, we certainly enjoyed very much the series in the Book of Ruth. I wonder if you did. Did you enjoy that too? I hope you were able to share in that. Because the Book of Ruth provided us with a very excellent backdrop to our present series. And I think we need to make connections between what we hear at different times in the church's year. And the link with this prayer of consecration comes at the beginning of the prayer of consecration. If you look again, this is what we looked at last week, but just a recap on it. The prayer begins, addressed to the Father, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who in your tender mercy gave your only Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption. There's the word, redemption. When redemption takes place, there's a redeemer. And if you remember, in the story of Ruth, it's all really about a kinsman redeemer, the figure of Boaz. You remember, Ruth was pretty desolate. She'd lost her husband, she'd come to a foreign country, she had very little to live on, and she was trying to support her mother-in-law. So she was desolate, but her life was transformed when she discovered she had a kinsman who was wealthy and well-disposed towards her. And in her very great need, Boaz, who wonderfully was a man from Bethlehem, he took her on. Now we too have a wealthy kinsman, Jesus. He's wealthy and he's well disposed to those who come and trust him. He's our kinsman by nature of his birth. He became our kinsman when he took our flesh and blood and emerged into the world at Bethlehem. Though he was in the form of God, he joined the human race. He became one of us not only by his birth, but also by his experience, for he lived the life we live. He faced testing and temptation. He had decisions to make as we do. He knew hunger, pain, loneliness, sorrow, weariness. He's one of us. He's our kinsman because he lived our life while all the while keeping his life free from sin. Now, being a kinsman was one thing, but to become a kinsman redeemer required something more. And Boaz the kinsman paid the price in money to become Ruth's redeemer. Jesus paid the price for us when he laid down his perfect life, shed his blood on our behalf at the cross. No wonder there was darkness over the face of the land. We've just heard it read again. No wonder Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And as we were looking at last week, our service, the prayer in our service says, he made there by his one oblation of himself once offered a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world. It's difficult to know what more words you could use to express the completeness, the total sufficiency of what Jesus achieved for us on the cross. And our response is simply to thank him for all he's done. Last week we were thinking up at St. Martin's of a beach in the morning. When you go down to the beach, perhaps with children or grandchildren, the beach is all smooth and flat. By lunchtime, deck chairs have been dug into the beach, sandcastles, channels dug in the sand. What a mess the beach is. A bit like our lives. What a mess we make of them. And then the tide comes in and washes the beach totally clean. And all those pits and marks are forgotten. And God says through his word, I will cast all your sins into the depths of the sea. I will remember them no more. That's what the cross has achieved for us. I hope you captured that last week. I'm sure you did if you were here to hear that explained. Our response is simply to thank him. But there is yet another link, another connection we can make with the book of Ruth. And it's so important to make this link. You remember that on the day Boaz became Ruth's redeemer, a marriage took place. She was married to her kinsman redeemer, and it was the start of an ongoing covenant relationship, which is exactly what Jesus establishes with us as his disciples. We might say a Christian is someone in a relationship with Jesus through the cross. Our life is a journey with him. We're in a relationship with him. And like any relationship, our contact with Jesus needs to be maintained and developed. Any relationship which doesn't maintain it will quickly become weak and stale. So we need to maintain, develop our relationship with Jesus. In any normal relationship, of course, the most obvious way is through conversation. You talk to each other, don't you? That's what it's all about. And one way we keep in touch with God, with Jesus, is through conversation. As we read and meditate on the Bible, for example, he speaks to us. God speaks to us. When we pray to him, we respond in prayer and a conversation develops. But alongside the Bible and prayer, this service of Holy Communion in which we share today is a further means of grace by which we encounter Jesus in the special way he provided. And therefore, if you're looking at our prayer again at the end of the first paragraph, we remember that he instituted, and in his Holy Gospel commanded us to continue, a perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. That's a reference to the service of Holy Communion, by which we meet with him, encounter Jesus. So this service is his gift to us. It's a place we can meet him in an intimate encounter. And the bread and the wine remind us that the person we meet today is the one who once died for us, but today is at God's right hand in glory, as our loving and great High Priest. The central meaning of the service of Holy Communion is remembrance. We're not offering anything to God. How could we? He has done everything necessary. We are thankfully receiving bread and wine to remind us that his death on the cross was not just a past remote event. It has powerful effects in the present to cleanse us and empower us through what Jesus achieved on our behalf. Remembering brings the past event into the present. Of course, the prayer goes on to recount, to retell the dramatic moments when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion. It took place during a Passover meal. And in a Passover meal, of course, there are many ingredients to the meal. The central part of it was the meat of the lamb which had been sacrificed. But it's quite significant, isn't it, that when Jesus was choosing some elements of that meal, which would be for Christians for all time a reminder of what he was doing, rather than meat, he chose bread, which he broke to represent his body, and wine to represent his blood. Because unlike the unwilling and inadequate animal sacrifice, the death Jesus was to die was to be a voluntary offering of himself. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This is my blood of the new covenant. Do this in remembrance of me. Now we need just to make one or two comments, one or two words, if you like, about certain elements in the service. First of all, a word about the elements themselves. I mean the bread and the wine. The bread is broken, the wine poured out, to help us to visualize again what happened on the cross, his body broken, his blood shed. And in that remembering, we find food for our journey and strength for our faith, because the one who died is present among us today to cleanse, to bless, to heal, to lead us, to refresh us. So our focus is on him. The bread remains bread. The wine remains wine. Nothing magical takes place. The Church of England, of course, at this point, in the Church of England, we differ from our friends in the Roman Catholic Church at this point. We're certainly friends with them, I hope, but we differ there. If you want to know what we believe, have a look in the 39 articles at Article 28. Rather robust language from the time of the Reformation. The bread, we believe, remains bread. And yet, the elements have a deep significance because of what they represent. And if you struggle with the 39 articles, well, what about this? I find this a helpful way into trying to understand it, because at a different level, whenever we go to a birthday party or perhaps a wedding celebration, do we not have a bit of an illustration? At a different level, yes, but beginning to get there, because the birthday cake remains cake like any other, as the wedding cake does. But it's been given extra significance because of its association. When we eat it, we think of the person involved or the couple and we wish them well. So when we take bread and wine, it remains bread and wine, but it is in a special way associated with Jesus and his cross, and taken, when we take it in faith and trust and our hearts are right, we'll find we encounter Jesus, the living Jesus today, who is alive forevermore. Second, a word about simplicity. We'll always want, won't we, to keep our services at the Holy Communion as simple and reverent as we can. Those who minister will not want to be prominent. Those who minister simply give the bread and wine as Jesus commanded. It is God himself who gives his grace and blessing to each as we come in faith. Someone said there are two givers at Holy Communion. The minister gives you the bread and the wine. God gives you the blessing of his grace and his truth and his love. So finally, as we come forward to receive Holy Communion, what should we be thinking of? People often wonder, well, what should we be thinking of as we come? Well, clearly of the cross. It's a service rich in meaning, to be explored and used to enjoy as we develop our relationship with Jesus. What about this? We look up in faith. It's an upward look. When he died, we're told the curtain of the temple was torn in two. The way into God's presence has been opened up once for all. Jesus has entered into heaven itself on our behalf. He's the pioneer who's gone before us. But he knows the way we tread, and we know it's a hard way because he's been here before us. So as we look up, we can bring our personal needs to him, ask his help for anything we're facing. We can put our hand afresh in his. How we need to value these opportunities to meet with the living Jesus. We look up. We also look around at our fellow believers, because the Lord's Supper is a communal, corporate meal. And as we focus on the cross, we find our unity. The ground is level at the cross. Those who come feeling rich and strong are humbled by the cross. Those who are poor and weak are lifted up, so the ground is level. We all owe everything to what Jesus has done for us. There's no room for distinctions among us. We are all one in Christ Jesus, proclaims St. Paul. So we look up, we look around in love for others. And finally, we look forward in hope. That's an element that can get slightly forgotten, but it's there, because if you notice, at the end of the first paragraph in our prayer, it says, this service is a perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. And St. Paul said in our reading, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Now we need that forward look, because daily life gives us many examples of evil and injustice, of bereavement and dashed hopes, of war and weariness and pain and illness and decay. And the only final cure will be the Lord's return and the final victory of what Jesus achieved on the cross. So we look forward in hope. Jesus himself said, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So then, let us draw near with faith, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And we thank the Lord afresh for all he's done for us on the cross, that he graciously meets with us in this service he has designed. And we pray that we may know his strength as we come to him day by day. Amen.